Proverbs chapter number 3. We're going to read verses 9 and 10 for our text this morning. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. We've been talking about the theme this year, I desire fruit, and you see here this mention of the first fruits. We'll take this passage this morning and bring a message entitled, Don't Just Make a Living, Make a Life. Don't just make a living, make a life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for this opportunity to assemble together today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. I pray you'd speak to our hearts this morning and help us as believers. Lord, we've been reminded in a very poignant way once again that life is really very short, this physical life. And I pray that we'll be challenged and encouraged this morning to have the kind of life that would honor you. Lord, if there's somebody here in our midst that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray they would not put it off, but they, hearing, sensing the conviction of the Spirit of God, realizing your great love for them, they'd respond and receive you into their heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter 15, which we've looked at over and over again the last couple of months, Jesus says that He is the true vine and that His Father is the husbandman. May I just say in this perverse society that it is significant that God refers to Himself as the husbandman. For one, the God who created the genders assumes the male gender with male pronouns even from the beginning of creation. Secondly, the first person to be authorized by God to steward His creation, to dress the garden, to work it, to till it, so that it can be nourished and healthy, and to keep the garden, to guard it from destruction, to dress the garden, and to keep the garden was a man. The Hebrew word for husband is man or male. Are you realizing this morning why Satan has given such significant an organized effort toward destroying the man, the husband, the father? After all, we are God's front line, men, for providing for and protecting His human garden. We heard a little bit about that during our Sunday school time. Back to John 15 for a moment. Jesus is the true vine. His Father is the husbandman or the farmer. We are the branches. The farmer simply severs the branches that are unfruitful or dead toward the true vine. But he purges, prunes, cleans the living branches in order that they might produce more fruit. The farmer has a special interest in those living branches because they are connected to the true vine. Could I say this morning that the Father has a very special interest to the true vine, because the true vine is in Him and He is in the true vine. So there's a special interest there. Romans chapter 11 says something about this idea of the branches connected to the true vine. Romans chapter 11, verse number 16. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. Now that lump is talking about like a lump of bread, or what would be made with the first fruit. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. I'm thankful for the root and the fatness of the olive tree in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse number 18, boast not against the branches. He's talking now about Israel. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest He also spare not thee. And he's speaking to the Gentiles concerning the lessons that we learn from the Jewish people. And ultimately, he says that you Gentiles who put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been grafted in to that olive tree, that root, those first fruits, if you will, with all the fatness and the fullness that it provides. Romans chapter 3 speaks about this boasting. Boast not that you've been able to be grafted in, for it is He that's carrying you, not you Him. And I'm thankful this morning I spoke to my wife's elderly grandmother this week, 101 years of age. And I'm thankful I asked her, Grandma, I need to ask you a very important question. Can you recall a time where you invited Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life? And there are many, many things that my wife's elderly grandmother has forgotten. And to be honest, I really didn't expect her to be as specific as she was with the answer. But she says, yes, I remember when I was 13 years old. That's been 88 years ago. May I say this morning? We may get to a point in time in our lives where we truly forget that experience simply because our mind is gone from us. But may I encourage you today, I'm not as much holding on to Him this morning as He is holding on to me. So I cannot boast this morning that I've really done a whole lot to participate in my salvation, although I did believe, and that is required. But God, He's done all the saving, grafting me into that olive branch. Romans chapter 3, verse number 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? If it was by works, we could boast. Ephesians chapter 2, but he says, nay, but by the law of faith. Anybody can believe. Put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified just as if he had never sinned, justified under righteousness. We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That special interest is protected by a covenant. The covenant of eternal provision and protection. In other words, God the husbandman will be faithful to provide all that's necessary for the branch to not only survive, but also to thrive. God has an interest in you this morning and I this morning that profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been born again. We've been grafted into that olive branch. We are in Him, in Jesus Christ today. And I'm saying that because Jesus is the true vine, and God's got certainly a special interest in Him, God's got a special interest in you and I this morning as well. He's got, consider this, as the husbandman, the farmer, the consummate green thumb. And He's on the job around the clock. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To put it simply, God has obligated Himself to prosper His living branches. He's obligated Himself. Now, I like that. We might put obligations on God that are really not true obligations. We sometimes expect things from God, and God's never put those in His Word that we should expect. But when God obligates Himself, He's going to be true to His Word. I'm not preaching about health, wealth, and prosperity this morning, at least not the way that so many false prophets preach and teach it. But I can say with assurance, based on the Word of God, that God has simply obligated Himself to prosper His living branches. I love what the book of 1 Peter says about this. 1 Peter chapter number 2. God calls us something wonderful. 1 Peter 2:1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. God is interested in we as the branches that we are growing. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, and if we've been born again, we've certainly tasted that the Lord is gracious. We've tasted of His eternal grace. Then He says this in verse number 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We are living branches and living stones. Why? Because we are connected to a living vine and a lively stone whose name is Jesus. Now, how do we know this? How do we know that God has obligated Himself to care with a special interest for the branches? Check out the key word of promise, covenant, in Proverbs chapter number 3. If you've turned from there, turn back there if you will. And I want you to notice this word in the first 10 verses. Notice it with me. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You've seen it by now, that key word of covenant or promise over and over again. God says to us, shall. It shall happen. And I'm thankful for that word all throughout the scriptures where God makes promises to us. It will come to pass. It shall come to pass. And so with that key word in mind, I want to give you three things this morning about not just making a living, but making a life. Number one, I want you to see the opportunity from God. The opportunity from God. The reason I believe that many, many people, probably a majority of people in this world, do not approach their life or this life that God allows is because they've never recognized life itself and all the great things that it brings in opportunity. They've never recognized first that it comes from God. The opportunity from God. Now we see the man here that wrote Proverbs, Solomon, we see him insert the Lord starting in verse number 4 and especially in verse number 5. And we might think, well, he's talking about his law. Chapter 3, verse number 1, my son, forget not my law. See, he's talking about a man's law. Those that understand who it was that wrote this and understand his life and understand the other writings that he wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit of God realize that he had adopted as his law the law of God. You see, he had taken God's law and he had made it so personal that he said to his son, son, you keep my law, but this is my law. Now, I may not always keep it the way that I ought to, and we know that every single one of us could stand in testimony to that, but he's saying to his son, son, I want you to pay attention to the law that I've paid attention to, that I've given my life to, and I want you to realize the opportunities that come only from God. The opportunity for longevity and tranquility. Notice there at verses 1 and 2, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now, could I just say this to you? That does not mean that every believer, that every branch will live a long life. God has not guaranteed that every single one of us will live to the age of 70, as Psalm chapter number 90 speaks about, or even 80, or further than that. God is not promising that. What he is saying is this, length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. In other words, God is going to take each and every individual and he is going to give your days longevity, not only a day in and of itself, but all the days that he'll give, he will provide longevity to those days so that they can be filled. And not only longevity, but tranquility, peace. You know, so many in the world go through each and every day fretting and fearing all the things that go on in life so much that they're literally hamstrung. Have you seen this the way I have with this virus, and they call it a pandemic, over the last year or so, the way that people have been so hamstrung in fear and frettedness? And I'm not saying this thing is not to be respected. We see that it's a reality. But I'm saying people get so fretful and fearful in life that literally they get nothing accomplished with their life. That's not what God has for us. He wants us to have longevity and tranquility to be able to proceed forward in this life to accomplish something based on the opportunities that he provides. Ephesians chapter number 6 speaks about that very law. Matter of fact, you can go back to the book of Exodus chapter number 20 and read about this very principle that was established long ago. But I find it interesting what he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Here's the word, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Here it is, longevity, tranquility, and it is attached to this idea of honor, honoring our parents. But we realize that our parents come from the Lord, and there are certain principles that God has given even to parents because He is the Heavenly Father. And God provides this opportunity for longevity and tranquility. Number two, for favorability. Now we're building something here that will ultimately lead us to the end of the message. So I want you to pay attention as we build. The opportunity for longevity and tranquility, but also for favorability. This is an opportunity, folks. Notice what it says, verses 3 and 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Keep them close. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. This is an opportunity that only God can give. And let me tell you the reason that only God can truly give this. Because mankind, certainly apart from God, is simply out for himself. We truly do live in a dog-eat-dog world. And if you've ever served in a corporate type of an environment, most of you probably have, you realize most people, the majority of folks, are out for themselves, and they will step all over you. They will throw you under the bus in a heartbeat if it means they'll get an opportunity. But when you have the proper mindset and you're living in a different perspective, a different sphere, if you will, the eternal sphere, you understand that the Lord is the one that truly provides the opportunity of favorability. And when God favors your life, and God allows mankind to favor your life, God will take you to places and put you in positions for His honor, for His glory, that you and I would never have imagined. Brother Coley talked about the Apostle Paul this morning, how he had a desire to go to Rome, and how that God brought him there, took him there, in a way that really he probably never would have thought about. He ended up being in jail, in prison. But God gave him favor. Do you know that he had his a special set of quarters there while he was imprisoned? Now, I'm not saying it was the Taj Mahal. I don't know if it was as nice as our building is this morning. But God gave him special favor even as he was imprisoned. Because God can give special favorability. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. If God's got an opportunity for you, I'm not saying this is a rule in life, but if God has an opportunity for you, think Joseph this morning. God will give you favor even with your enemies so that God can move the branch where He wants the branch to be. Many go through life trying so hard to establish position. Why don't we simply honor God and let God give us favor to place us in position in life? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 2:26, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. God says the same thing about our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 2:52, the last verse of the chapter, that Jesus increased in stature and in favor with God and man. Now that's quite a statement. Jesus was the God-man, but in his humanity, he increased in favor with God and also with man. He is our example, even as a child. Opportunity for longevity and tranquility. The opportunity for favorability. This thing is starting to build. This opportunity that God provides for us in our life. We need longevity and tranquility. We need favorability. God said, I'll give that to you. Number three, for direction. Boy, we just heard about that in Sunday school, didn't we? I need not even say a whole lot about it. But let me give you a couple of scriptures. One that was already read in our Sunday school time. We'll get to that one in a moment. But Psalm 37:23, a very familiar passage, says this: the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I'm so thankful for the direction, the leading, the guiding of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, and the way that he directs us as we go through life, so that we can fully understand and realize the opportunities that God is giving to us. If we never have our steps directed in the way that God would have us go fully, we'll never fully realize those opportunities that God would have for us. And I'm thanking the Lord, he is so gentle and so long-suffering and so kind in the way that he leads us in shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet. God leads his dear children along where the water's cool flow bathes the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along. He leads us so gently through this life. He doesn't jolt us and jar us. Now, you ever had a parent? I did. In my younger years, when it was time to go, they would jolt you or jar you, especially if you wanted to go your own way. Now, I know that's not PC, that's not politically correct. We ought to be very gentle with our children, you know, and never jerk on them and all that. And I understand some of those things are related to health. But, you know, sometimes you go this way and your parent says, no, we're going this way. And that happens. And I'm not saying that God won't provide circumstances to be able to sort of do that in a spiritual sense. But you know, overwhelmingly, I've sensed this in my life. God is very gentle in the way that he leads us. He understands we're just children. We're just weak. We're just frail. God gently guides us. He uses his word to do it primarily. Psalm number 119, verse number 105. It was read earlier. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. The opportunity for longevity and tranquility and for favorability and for direction. Can you see now how life begins to shape out? How there is this picture that comes to pass. How am I going to be able to make a life and not just a living? Well, if God gives you longevity and tranquility and favorability and direction, boy, you've got a pretty good chance of making the life. What about health? What about health? You see, oftentimes we focus on bad health, forgetting all the days of good health, don't we? God is the one that provides good health. God could just as easily allow for bad health to come our way, and he does sometimes. But I want you to notice there in verse number 7, Proverbs chapter 3, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. The navel there is referring to the umbilical cord. I believe it is referring at least in part to gut health. How much do we hear about gut health in our day and age? I'm thankful they're learning more about it. And what gut health does in a lot of ways is it provides for us protection against disease or illness. God says, I'll provide that for you. Gut health, moist bones. He talks about the marrow of the bones and these moist bones so that we don't shrivel up and we're able to move about the way that we need to have the strength that we need to have so that we can even get old in our years. Like Brother Jim Anderson, boy, he's getting a little bit older. They celebrated it yesterday, right? But you know what I see? I look back and I look at Brother Jim Anderson and I say, and I've said this to him before, brother, you don't look. Can I say your age, brother? 70 years old. Did I get that right? Okay. Tomorrow. God willing, 70 years old. I'm not saying Brother Anderson's not had some health issues. He's had some. But boy, God can, and I'm talking about supernaturally now, step in and help us to be shielded from disease. Again, I'm not saying God always does this. God's will is not always that. And He'll lead us to a certain point. And something, by the way, friend, think of this. Something is going to take us out of this life physically speaking. Have you ever thought about that? Whatever it may be, whatever God may allow, something is going to take us out of this life. God says, I'm going to help you as the branch because I've got a special interest in you so that you might have health and direction and favorability and longevity and tranquility. And if you really think about it, these are all the things that are necessary that we might have a full life. Opportunity from God. Number two, an obligation to God. An obligation to God. We really see it in the first 8 verses. But then verse number 9, I want us to see it there. It says, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. The word honor there is a Hebrew word that means wait. Wait. Make much of the Lord. You ever heard somebody say, that person just sort of brings a weight into the room? You ever heard the term the elephant in the room? That's something that's very heavy, very evident. And what God is saying to us is that we are to make Him heavy in our lives. Now, may I say this? God is heavy all by Himself. He is weighty all by Himself. But it is our recognition where we have the issues, and oftentimes He does not have the weight that He ought to have in our lives. But when we understand that these opportunities come from God, we then begin to realize that there is an obligation that God has for us to honor the Lord. Honor Him, He says, with thy substance. This is with the totality. The totality. In other words, the fullness, the whole of our lives. Everything that I have, everything that is within my possession, that is within my responsibility, be it my body or be it outside of my body, everything that God gives to me is the Lord's. We need to realize that. And I need to honor Him with everything that I have. The house that God allows, the car that God allows, the money that God allows, the skills that God allows, this body and all the aspects of it that God allows, everything that God allows to be in my responsibility, I need to honor Him with it. Mark chapter number 12 gives us an example of what we're talking about here, honoring Him with thy substance, with thy totality. Everything that I have belongs to the Lord. Maybe I've got something this morning that I have that I'm responsible before that doesn't honor the Lord. Maybe it's time for me to get that out of my life and of my responsibility, because my principle that I'm establishing in my life is that with everything I have, I'm going to honor the Lord. He's going to be weighty in my life. What He says, what His will is, what His principles are, they're going to hold sway in my life. Mark chapter 12, verse number 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Notice the word all. And with all thy soul. And with all thy mind. And with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. He takes it right back to the law. And taking an entire burnt offering and a sacrifice, I mean every portion of it, and offering it up to God. And I'm saying that God is saying to us, everything that we have this morning, it ought to honor him. But there's another principle here, not just honor him in totality, but honor him primarily. Primarily. Did you know that you can honor God in totality and not properly honor him primarily? You say, now how exactly would I do that? Well, you might say, everything I've got is the Lord's, but it's mine first. God owns it all, but I just want to make sure that I get what I need to get out of it first. I see this mentality a whole lot, but in Exodus chapter number 20, we referred to it just a little while ago. God helps us with this. The very first of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter number 20, verses 2 and 3. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods, here it is, before me. Before me. Could I say this? I've said it before, that in this day and age, and maybe it's been this way forever, mankind's number one God that he deals with, false God, is not some statue or idol or maybe even some individual or person or some thing in life. Mankind's number one idol and statue that he deals with is himself. Himself. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. Satan doesn't care if you worship him. He doesn't care if you're a satanic worshiper. That's a very minor group that's out there that says, we worship Satan. Satan doesn't care about that. You know what Satan wants you to do? You worship you. And don't we see that in our society? I love me, some me, people say. You know what they're saying? I worship me. We better be careful, folks. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God is to be primary. He is to be chief. He is to be first. I am to acknowledge him in all my ways, and I am to acknowledge him first. By the way, that's why I still believe in the tithe. I still believe in putting God first in my money or the increase that God would bring in. And by the way, the substance means those things that I already have. I ought to honor God with those things, but the increase is what God adds to it. And God said, when I add something to your substance, you put me first. That's why I believe in the tithe. It ought to be the very first thing we think about in our minds. Could I say this? When the government so-called provides a stimulus, I say the government so-called because I don't know that the government's got any money at all. That's troubling to me. And people want to talk about stimulus. That's a very small portion of the bill they just passed. Sorry to get political with you this morning, but we're bankrupting our country in a hurry. But whatever increase God gives, you say, Pastor Taylor, do you know how much money I just received? 10% of that ought to go to your local church. I believe that's biblical. I believe that's good in God, putting God first. You say, Pastor, I've never put that much money in the offering plate. Try it. and see that the Lord won't honor His word. We have an obligation to God, those of us that are the branches. We have opportunity from God and an obligation to God. I love what Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things, what are these things? All the things we need, all God knows we need in our lives, they'll be added unto you. Let me say a final word about the outpouring for God. Not only the opportunity from God, obligation to God, but now an outpouring for God. You say an outpouring for God or from God? Well, it's really both. But this is how the mentality of the branch begins to change. God doesn't want me simply to be outpoured, but He wants me to be outpoured for Him. Notice verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Here it is. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now we love that promise. God says, I'll have plenty. God says, my presses will burst out with new wine. It'll be overflowing. I'll be full and overflowing. And the health, wealth, and prosperity people, they love to preach this, and they love to see people who don't know their Bibles coming. But they miss this biblical principle of an outpouring for God, not just from God, but for God. Let me say it to you this way. Number one, plenty in the barns. Luke chapter number 12. You remember this man that Jesus spoke about, Luke chapter number 12? Verse number 13. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. This is not a new situation that occurs. People are really concerned about the inheritance. Brother Weaver has a close relative that passed away here recently as well. And oftentimes, I mentioned a situation, oftentimes we see this. Families are really concerned about what's left behind. Verse number 14, he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? This is Jesus speaking. He said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life, we better catch this. This is really the crux of the message. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Sounds very close to the word plenty that God speaks about in Proverbs chapter 3. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see that plenty in the barns? God knows it'll meet your need, but God's primary purpose for the plenty is to meet the needs of others as God has established to be able to meet the needs. God's promised to take care of us, but God's got a much bigger program than just us. An outpouring for God, plenty in the barns, and those presses bursting out. I love that passage there in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 37 and 38. It speaks about this matter of pressing. Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38, it says, Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, in all these other areas, we're learning to get God's perspective. in the area of our judgment, in the area of our condemnation, in the area of our forgiveness, and now in this area of giving. We're getting God's perspective. He says, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Hey, the same way that we sow is the way that we are going to reap. God wants to use us. He does want us to have plenty in the barns and our presses bursting out. But why? That we might be outpoured for Him, for His purposes, for His honor. By the way, I don't know if you've ever thought about it before, but consider what's in the barn and what's in the presses or the vats as well. Bread or grain primarily, and the fruit of the vine, the juice. I don't believe there's a mistake there. Consider the bread and the wine that Jesus spoke about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When he was about to be betrayed, and the disciples had this picture and this idea in their mind, and so did the whole of Israel, that the Messiah would set up his kingdom immediately. Jesus had a different purpose. He came not to be ministered unto, Mark 10:45, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus poured out his life, his flesh, and his blood to minister and to serve us. What is a life? Not a living. Any of us can make a living. God is so good to allow the opportunity, and He does through all the areas that we've already looked at. But what is truly a life? Recognizing the opportunities from God, realizing our obligations to God, and then reckoning all that God has filled us with to be poured out for His glory. That is how you focus on making a life and not of making a living. Could I say this? This man here was not a wealthy man. Not by any stretch. But could I say also this to you? This man here made a life. You say, how do you know that, Pastor Taylor? Well, I looked out Monday morning at those children that he fathered, looked at their families and their spouses and their children, and there's a legacy left behind there that making a living just doesn't provide. Could I also say this? Many have made as their primary and chief concern in life making a living, and they leave behind a terrible legacy. Why? They had the wrong focus. God has a special interest in the branches, you can be sure of that. But He wants us to not worry about making a living. He'll take care of those needs. He wants us to focus on making a life and leaving a legacy for His honor, that He might be weighty, that He might be weighty amongst the sons of men. People will gather in a room one day, and some preacher will speak over your body, and there will be a life lived that honors the Lord. Praise the Lord for it this morning. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Would you do that with me this morning? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you this question. Are you in the true vine this morning? And is the true vine in you? If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, if you've received Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that He offered on your behalf, if you've received Him, you're in Him and He's in you. He is yours and you are His. But if you've never been born again, you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life, believed in Him and Him only for your eternity, you are separated from the true vine this morning. And I'm telling you, you can make all the living you want in this life. You can live high on the hog, as they say. And friend, this life is very short. You'll go out into eternity and you'll be separated from God forever. And it'll be turmoil and torment forever and ever and ever. I cannot beg and plead of you enough, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, to receive Him today. Maybe there's one in the midst with heads bowed and eyes closed that would say, Pastor Taylor, I'm not sure that I've ever received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, but I'm concerned about it this morning. Would you pray for me? Would you lift a hand? Let me pray for you this morning. Is there one like that? Could I pray for you if that's you this morning? Could I ask you the second question? I don't see any hands on that. Maybe there's somebody online with that need. If there is, I would invite you this morning to reach out to somebody and let us tell you, show you from the Word how you can invite Jesus in today. Maybe you're a Christian and you as a branch, you realize I'm in the vine's in me, but my perspective has been off in some areas. I've not recognized the opportunities and the obligation and the outpouring that God would have for my life. And I need the Spirit of God to shift some of those things. Yes, God has promised to make me fruitful and He'll meet my needs in the process. But He wants...